Welcome to Building Texas with Justin McKenzie and Summer Babarak, sponsored by the Bernie Kendall County Economic Development Corporation and Das Greenhouse. And now, here's your host, Justin McKenzie.
Welcome to Building Texas on Bernie Radio 103.9 FM. I'm excited to be in studio at Das Greenhouse today with Glenn Boehm from Boehm Commercial Group. And really, I think we're going to have a winding conversation because your story is very dynamic. But we're in an entrepreneurial building. We're going to talk about where you came from and how did you get to the places that you are today and the impact that you're making today. Very excited to sit down with you today. Thank you for coming and joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. No worries. I love doing this. Looking forward to our conversation.
Now, you've recently jumped into your own podcast. Tell me, what's that been like in the last few weeks of recording?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about your strengths and weaknesses, and you learn to be really careful with asking your questions. As a demo interview, I interviewed my wife, and I said, all right, Amy, so you've been top 1% of all agents in the United States for nearly two decades now. What is something you've had to overcome, a struggle you've had? And she looks me in the eyes, and she goes, well, Glenn, we've been married for 25 years. And wait a minute, I can't be your struggle, right? I'm the host of the show. You can't put this on me.
Can't walk into those traps.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to see them coming.
Be careful with your questions.
That's right. Or your guest. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to be selective with the guest.
Yeah. I think she wanted that recorded. Now she's got evidence.
Spent 25 years waiting for that day.
Exactly.
It's a fun experiment. You get to learn a lot about yourself, your communication style, hearing yourself in the headphones and on the recording that you listen to before it goes out. It's interesting to self-reflect in that way, self-critique in a lot of ways too.
Yeah. You know, there's a book that my wife actually says is her number one book go to, and it's Lou Tice. And it's about self-talk, about how you can be your worst enemy in your self-talk. So just, you know, letting things go that, oh, I missed an opportunity there, or I should have asked the question this way, or I should have expanded on that. You know what? It's recorded. It's sent out. Let it go and let it do its thing. God will use that to do what he's going to do.
We're going to talk about real estate eventually, but this isn't your first experience in media. You've spent time in the corporate world in marketing and really promoting brands, products, everything that goes into it. But this is your first time in creation. Is that the right interpretation?
I would say yes. In corporate America, when I worked at AT&T, you know, we had people who would come in, get direction from us, go and create and come back. And great job with that. That's probably was one of my favorite things to do, was to work with the creators on that side. And then obviously the result on the other side of it. Yeah. So this is my first as an entrepreneur and a business owner. So, you know, everything starts and ends with you. I joked around with an entrepreneur not too long ago, was in their restaurant and they were coming out of the bathroom. And I said, were you in there cleaning? And they go, actually, I was. And I said, well, of course you were. As an entrepreneur, you clean the bathrooms, you mop the floors, you do everything in here because it's your business. So you do what you got to do. So I do a lot of creation with our marketing in the real estate side. Certainly everything starts and stops with me as a business owner in the commercial world. So I do get into a lot of creation. Now we do have people that work with us and help us a lot, but I'm definitely give a lot of input on the creation side.
And for those listening, what is the name of your show and when can they hear it?
Oh, absolutely. It's called The Power of Perseverance. And it will be airing on Saturday mornings at 11:30 on Bernie Radio 103.9. We've had a number of great guests and we have some more lined up. We're digging in a little bit different twist than here. We're digging into things, entrepreneurs, life, whatever, however the conversation leads, but where people had to persevere through things. We have entrepreneurs that had to persevere through COVID and through early startup of their business. And I always say no one understands perseverance more than an entrepreneur.
Well, I look at you today at the golf shirt that you're wearing, the impact that you make and the independence that you enjoy. I would say, well, Glenn didn't really persevere. He's been successful his whole life. But I think that would be a real miss. And I think that's a judgment that we put on a lot of people because we see where they are today, whether that's in the work or in the success, but we don't acknowledge their perseverance. Now, I know a little bit about you to say you did persevere. You came from a background that wasn't necessarily ready to go into real estate or ready to jump into the success that you've had. Walk me through that entrepreneurial journey. I think all the way from being a kid, deciding what you want to do, where people start their entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I grew up in East Houston and I grew up in the 70s and 80s in East Houston. And number one, it was a very rough area. I always joke around where I grew up, when God hands out fight or flight, to have you survive and persevere in East Houston, he does not give you flight. You're 100% handed fight, because you have to fight for everything, and everything is a struggle. And I mean everything. Every single second of every single day is a struggle when you grow up in an area like East Houston. So grow up, I go on to A&M. And again, in a high school where I joke around, I said, if you keep the majority of the kids from going into prison after high school, you've done a great job. They go on and be successful and they are productive in the community, then you've done a great job. Went to A&M and graduated A&M. And that was a struggle because our school, we really weren't prepared for college. So I learned how to study at a college level very quickly. And then went to work in the corporate America, started having some success in corporate America. And then at one point, I was working for SBC, which is now AT&T. Really enjoyed it, really made some great relationships there. But we could see that AT&T was heading to Dallas. That was pretty obvious. Amy and I had a long conversation. Our kids were already in Bernie ISD, and especially my youngest daughter, who has special needs, and she's a senior today, and she is a phenomenal person and a light in everybody's life. But at the time, she was early on in elementary, and we were just getting her program kind of around her now that we could kind of understand some things. And so we really didn't want to leave. So I made a decision to leave AT&T, and Amy and I got our license, and we launched out into real estate. Now, after leaving AT&T, part of that, I was still doing some consulting back to AT&T, knowing that that would come to an end one day whenever they moved to Dallas. So you leave a really nice corporate job with a great company who's moving, and we just didn't want to move because of our kids were kind of in BISD and had a good program going. You leap out with a lot of faith. And I recently heard a podcast about George Lucas, Star Wars. And he said, if he's going to invest, he's going to invest what he knows best, which is himself. So Amy and I decided we're going to invest in ourselves, get our license, start our real estate career. Something we say every day, head down, work hard. So that's how we launched that. Yes, we've had some great success. You know, last 2 years, I've been the number one Keller Williams commercial agent in the state of Texas, top 10 in the United States. And so that's 17 years of building that up. But yes, we've had some great success. And I've skipped over a bunch of things there on perseverance. Personally, we adopted all three of our children. And so that was a level of perseverance to get from where we were, meeting with doctors every week to decide, you know what, let's adopt three children. We want children. We're not going to get there medically. So let's go adopt children.
You're very involved in organizations around town, but Special Olympics comes to mind most notably. And I think that leads into the Bernie Aquaplex. And those are the two main features I see you in today, sharing a lot of passion and experience with how they're framing and building and growing those organizations. I don't know the Special Olympics world really well. Can you help me understand? What does that look like in Bernie, Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just start that by saying, there's a saying, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And let me just say that when you work with a special needs athlete in any sport and any level, and you pour in and you pour in and you pour in, the love you get back from these athletes is 100-fold what you put in. You just go and you just do it, and you help them and you love on them. And then you see it down the road. You look back and you go, wow, what an amazing journey I've had working with these athletes, you know, having a daughter that special needs. And we had no idea when we got into this. We got her in swim. Coach came to us and said, hey, I think I can teach her to do the butterfly. And if she can learn to do the butterfly, the hardest stroke in swimming, I think she could qualify for the state meet. We were like, okay, this is little Lexi. Let's do whatever you got to do. And I'll never forget our first regional meet. We're sitting there. We had zero expectations. Lexi's first event was the 25-meter freestyle. And she took off and blew the field away. And I looked over at my wife and I went, what was that? 6 months ago, we signed her up for swim because we wanted her to be confident swimming when we're not around, when she's at the beach or in a pool or whatever, and we're not there. We want her to be confident. Well, after 20-something gold medals in the regional meets and over 15 gold medals at the state meet and winning a gold medal in every event that she has entered, and being on a relay team that is the fastest relay team we have ever seen in the state of Texas. Three of the girls on the team all have gold medals in their stroke. So you could kind of see that team coming together. So she's confident now. She can definitely swim. You know, and again, it gets back to the humility around that. You know, I asked her one day, I'm watching her just play with some things. And I said, Lexi, how do you get in the water and be the fastest 25-meter freestyle female in the state of Texas? And she thought about it for a half a second and says, Dad, it's easy. You just beat everybody else. And, you know, that simplification, I think, is a great message for any radio show. So no matter what you're struggling with, if you're struggling with addiction or you're struggling with whatever, how do you win? Lexi gave us the answer. You just beat it. Okay, that's perseverance. That comes from the inside. It comes from your heart. It comes from working with God and your ability to persevere whatever is in front of you. And just like she said, you just beat it.
I appreciate that reminder. I have a picture right over here around perseverance, and it's a picture of a bird with a broken wing, and it built itself the old awesome. Petal wing. So when Lexi had her first meet, where was it?
Yeah, so the regional meet was here in San Antonio, and then the state meet was at College Station at Texas A&M Aquatic Center.
So where does that happen in San Antonio? I understand Texas A&M has the facilities, but as I think about San Antonio,
Yes, Northside and Northeast school districts, they have large natatoriums that can host large groups. So the first one was over off of 1604 at Northeast Independent School District, and Northside Independent School District have natatoriums that are large enough to host big crowds.
And what's a natatorium for this?
So it's a swimming complex, okay. Right? You've got indoor pools, you've got outdoor pools, you've got diving platforms. When you're watching the Olympics on TV this summer, they're in large natatoriums that probably have been built specifically for the Olympics. So these are natatoriums where the ISDs, the school districts and the college districts, have built these for their athletes.
So you're at the first meet and you saw immediate success with her. I think it was a shocking success to the parents. They're like, oh, this is a whole new level of confidence and independence and things that go Absolutely. Into student athletes. But what else did it inspire? Like, where does it go from there?
I remember having a conversation at the state meet at Texas A&M. One of the conversations we had was, we have been blessed here in Bernie that we actually have an indoor pool, and it is 16 yards versus 25 meters. So we are training in a pool that is not really adequate for what our athletes are going to go compete in.
I couldn't even tell you what pool you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's the convent that's here.
Oh, yeah, okay. I've heard rumor of that recently. Yeah.
So they have an indoor pool. Now, here are the challenges with that pool. And again, it's been a blessing to be able to work out there.
Yeah.
But there's no air control in there. And I don't mean air conditioning. I mean just so if it gets above 100 degrees, we can't work out because it's too hot in there. And during COVID, obviously, it was all shut down. We couldn't work out in there. So we were doing some type of workouts in outdoor pools. Anybody that had a pool that would let us swim in it. Obviously, we're not training 25 meters. We're working on flip turns and touching the wall and things like that. So it's been a blessing to work out there. So what that conversation led to at state, when we're all looking around and all the athletes are getting gold medals, we said, you know what? Why don't we build a facility for these athletes and make it a community center? So it is the basis of it. The foundation of what we want is for these athletes in Special Olympics. But how do we afford to run it? Let's figure out a way to build something that the community can use, the community can take advantage of, and benefit the entire community of Bernie. That's what we're working on right now. We have a business plan put together. We have a board, and we are about to launch out on a capital campaign. So we have gotten there. So the two things that we really have to do is raise money and identify a location. Those are the next two steps in what we've got to do. In a roundabout way, I'm president of that board. Obviously, my interest in Alexa's swimming. And what's great is when you're at the swim meet and you see the age categories, well, the last one goes from, I think, 22 years old to 99. So this is a lifetime thing. There's a gentleman, which, by the way, when he stood up on the platform, I could just see in his body language, I said, he's going to win this race. He's 70 years old and he's swimming in a category that's 22 to 70 and he won his heat. And you could just see in his body language, he was going to win his heat. That's phenomenal to see that these athletes can go participate in an event that goes from 22 to 99 in an age range.
Well, the lifetime sports are such a blessing. We put a lot of emphasis on football and the sports that we know commercially. But the reality is sport for most of us, the overwhelming majority is to be healthy, to get outside, to be active. I do triathlon poorly, but it is interesting. And I've had the experience where their ages are on their calves. And so you get passed by a 78-year-old.
Yeah.
And they've put a lot of work in to be at that place at that age. And you have to applaud the work. In that same vein, from a triathlon standpoint, there aren't a lot of pools, as I think about around the area. There's not a lot of places to do that type of workout.
Yeah. I know a lot of athletes go work out at the Burney Lake when the weather allows.
Or when there's enough water in it. I won't swim across the lake right now just because there's not enough movement. But a great resource for us, but not enough. When we think of where we are, how we've grown, your two challenges of finding land and money, they're very fortunate to have you and your background sitting there, but those are two tall tasks. How much money are we talking about and how big is the footprint?
Yeah, so for the Aquaplex alone, we need about 5 to 6 acres. And then the budget that we've come up with is going to be somewhere between 10 to 12 million. And here's what I know with, and I've seen nonprofits just go from zero to where they are today, and they're massive, right? And if the mission is right and it's aligned with God's will, it'll happen. That's my prayer for the Aquaplex, that it aligns with God's will. And if it is, then it'll happen. Donors will show up. The land will be identified. And we're actually doing something a little bit unique. There's another gentleman here working on a housing program, housing for adults with disability. And really, I'm kind of summarizing that, but it's more than that. We're kind of working together, hoping, praying that we find a large enough tract that we could be co-located, where we can have the housing and then we can have the Aquaplex, because a big part of the community that's going to use the Aquaplex is going to be living in that housing. But then we'll also open it up to, you know, the whole community.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's graduating senior.
Yeah.
Really excited for that. A journey that you've been on for a long time.
Yep.
When you adopted children, did you adopt them? What age?
So our children were 2, 1, and 0 when they came to our house. Yeah. So in 9 months, we went from 0 children to 3. You know, most people go from 0 to 1. 0 to 2 if you have twins. We went from 0 to 3 in a 9-month period, and it was crazy. That story in itself is a story of perseverance.
But in that, you and your wife, Amy, have built very successful real estate careers. And I say that downplays it. To be top 10 in the country for Keller Williams, to be in the top 1% of all real estate professionals, how did you find the time? How do you manage that from an entrepreneurial scheduling to the parent of 3 kids in that same age group, and the challenges that come with that?
Yeah, and it is challenging, no doubt about it. You know, number one is having a great partner. Well, and I should say number one is asking God to help us. I mean, without him helping us over and over and over, and you look back and you go, wow, I can see where he just carried us through that. So having God help us, and then having a great partner in Amy, to all the scheduling and all the stuff that has to go on, and then I have to, you know, take over the kids, and she has to take over the kids, and just managing through all that, and just have a great deal of gratitude that you get to do this, and also having a great deal of forgiveness when, and typically it's me, whenever I make mistakes or I'm not on top of it, and then Amy has to help get us there. Having a great deal of gratitude that we get to do it, and having a great deal of forgiveness to be able to work together.
And in real estate, we have the ebbs and flows, right? And I think we're seeing that across the economy. And from an entrepreneurial venture standpoint, there's definitely been a shift in the market. I think we're on our way back, but it's dynamic. And as a business leader or business owner, the swings and decisions have an impact on you because you're responsible for others. You have a team around you and you want to continue to produce and for them to continue to produce. To be as successful as you've been in that, you've had to be good in all phases of the economy. As a commercial broker, how are we thinking about commercial real estate post-COVID, high interest rates, and all of that today? Where do you find confidence?
Fortunately, we're in this great state of Texas, right? Texas learned a big lesson in the 80s, a huge lesson. We could write book after book after book on what Texas learned in the 80s. We were tied to the oil industry and we were tied to real estate, and both of them crashed in the 80s. So we learned a lot. I remember both my parents were laid off at the same time because we lived in Houston, Texas. Fortunately, Texas learned a great lesson during that period of time to go out and build an economy that's not going to rely just on oil and gas and just on real estate. So most of the major cities have really diversified, which has proliferated out into communities like Bernie, and think about all the communities around Texas. Like Georgetown comes to mind, and other communities that have benefited from the Texas economy saying, okay, we're going to diversify this economy and we're going to become the seventh largest economy in the world. Imagine that. That's pretty crazy. So being in Texas definitely helps. There's a quote from Michael Jordan that I remember reading years ago, and he talks about decide what you're going to do, be the very best at it, and then put in the work. So it's plain old hard work, right? When the economy has its ebbs and flows, you've got high interest rates, you've got other things coming out of COVID, you got all these other things. So just plain old hard work, doing the things that it takes to get in front of clients and build that trust with those clients and then have that business. So getting back to the gratitude, if there's one thing that I've learned, especially coming out of COVID, having the gratitude that it's our great clients who trust us. So we build that trust with our great clients. And then that trust carries through the ebbs and flows of any kind of market. The history of the United States economy, there's always ups and downs, and it'll always be that way. Building a business that is resistant. I mean, we got our license in 2006. So 2008 was the worst thing I had seen since the 80s. Building a business on the heels of 2008 was, again, another whole series of conversations about perseverance and working hard and staying focused.
You're listening to Building Texas on Bernie Radio 103.9 FM. As we come back from the break, I want to continue to talk about the diversity of Texas's economy and how we've really positioned ourselves for success in the big cities. But what are we doing in rural Texas?
This is Justin McKenzie from Building Texas. Today's segment is brought to you by Das Greenhouse. Das Greenhouse is a business incubator launched here in Bernie to serve our local community. Das Greenhouse is a place where you can come to grow your idea. Our goal is to make Bernie accessible to people who are looking to grow a business, expand a business, or learn more about what's out there in their community and get involved. Visit us at dasgreenhouse.org or come visit us at 7 Upper Balcones Road, Bernie, Texas. Das Greenhouse.
Well, let's jump back into the economy in Texas. And you mentioned Georgetown, and I would say Bernie, very similar, where halo cities around the larger metroplexes. And in this instance, we're west of Austin, north of San Antonio. We both know professionals that work their day jobs in Austin or San Antonio. So we're uniquely positioned, but similar to the Aquaplex conversation and just the resources that we have, we've grown so quickly. I don't know that we've kept up. But then I worry, as we see the continuing evolution of the economy, is are we preparing a workforce for the future? And what signal are we putting out into our local high schools and our own kids around, yeah, there's a way you can live and work in the Texas Hill Country 20 years from now, and here's what it's going to look like. I don't think we know that yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. We still are uncovering that and looking into the future. Now, what we do see is we do see a lot of great work around community college, for example, Alamo Colleges, for example, here, where they are looking at the tech trades, and you're seeing the success in tech schools where people are coming out and they're getting welding and auto mechanics and things like that. The trades that we have to have in any economy, anywhere in the world. So there is a little bit of shift that, hey, these students may not go to college. So let's put a program around them that involve the tech skills that we need. You know, like I mentioned, the auto mechanics and the welding and things like that, that we desperately need in our economy so that we don't have to rely on others to provide that.
Yeah, and we're fortunate to have so many different programs where we expose the kids to that. That wasn't what I experienced, and maybe it was just me not paying attention, which happens. But as I see, I spoke with ROTC recently. Three of the four kids had their private pilot's license for free through high school, through scholarship. And that's not just in Bernie. That is really school districts around the state that are looking, and people like you that are in those communities drawing in, how do we build an aquaplex? How do we build more, create more opportunity, and keep them in their hometowns or give them an opportunity to come back? That seems to be a real defining mission with what we've talked about today.
So I'll tell you, for me, what I see in the economy, what I see is a critical piece of this is going to be private property rights. when any entity that gets involved and starts reducing private property rights that an owner has for their properties. So now you're getting into what Karl Marx has written book after book after book on, where the great big government doesn't really know what's best for that person or that property. So private property rights is critical. And we've got things that we've got to work out. We've got to figure out and work out also with the demands on water and things like that. But I would say from what I see in the work that I've done in 15 states and Puerto Rico and all over the country is private property rights is going to be a critical issue when other entities get involved and start dictating what a owner of property can and cannot do. That never goes well.
Well, I'll echo that. And that comes up into a lot of conversations in our area of the world. But Glenn, thank you so much for the way you're building Texas and for spending time with us today.
Yeah, you bet. I love the great state of Texas and I enjoyed this today. So, and thank you for all the work you guys are doing here with your radio show and also with Doss Greenhouse.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Justin McKenzie from Building Texas. Today's segment is brought to you by Doss Greenhouse. Doss Greenhouse is a business incubator launched here in Bernie to serve our local community. Doss Greenhouse is a place where you can come to grow your idea. Our goal is to make Bernie accessible to people who are looking to grow a business, expand a business, or learn more about what's out there in their community and get involved. Visit us at dossgreenhouse.org or come visit us at 7 Upper Balconies Road, Bernie, Texas. Doss Greenhouse.
Let's head over to the Patrick Heath Public Library with Miss Constance for children's story time. As the Patrick Heath Library is open today from 10 to 4, this is Bernie Radio.